Good morning. Thank you for that, Chair. Just a couple of language access instructions for those of our attendees participating in Spanish, both in the room and on Zoom today. Buenos días a aquellos que nos acompañan en español. Queremos dejarles saber que tenemos interpretación al vivo disponible para la sesión de hoy. Si nos acompaña por medio de videoconferencia Zoom, por favor vean la parte inferior de su pantalla. Aparece un icono con un globo terráqueo que dice Interpretation o Interpretación. Selecciónelo y de ahí seleccione su idioma Spanish o español y podrá escuchar todo el idioma en su idioma. Y para aquellos en la sala, si necesitan un dispositivo, por favor, vea un funcionario del consejo para que le asistan. And for those in the room, if there happens to be any Spanish comment or question from the audience, please know we'll be on hand to assist with that consecutively here on screen. Thank you so much, Chair. Back to you.
All right, thank you. Okay, welcome everyone to the June 11th, 2024 meeting of the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board. For everyone joining us in the meeting room, please turn off or silence your cell phones. This meeting is being webcasted and recorded, so please speak clearly. This meeting is being conducted in a physical location and is also available via remote access. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be muted with your camera off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until the completion of your item and then may choose to exit the meeting or continue. All right, we'll kick things off with the Pledge of Allegiance. Board Member Wright, would you like to lead us? All right, I'd like to ask the clerk to do a roll call.
Chair Satin?
Present.
Vice Chair Perez?
Present.
Board Member Gonzalez? Absent. Board Member Music?
Present.
Board Member Wright?
Here.
Chair Satin, we have a quorum.
Awesome. Okay, the purpose of this public meeting is for the regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region regarding water quality issues. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will generally be limited to 3 minutes. The board clerk can now identify the speakers who have submitted speaker cards for the public forum.
Yes, Chair Satin. We have Victor Lujan.
Can you hear me now? All right. Thank you for your time. Good morning. My name is Victor Lujan, the project manager for the Palo Verde Outfall Coalition in Blythe, California. Farming has taken place in the Palo Verde region over a century, and our members farm a variety of hay, grain, vegetable, and crops. I'm here today to thank your staff for working with the coalition on navigating our way through the new ILRP requirements that have come to effect in our region over the last several years. One of those requirements is the nitrogen use reporting by the coalition members through the irrigation and nitrogen management plans, or INMPs, as referred to. Nitrogen use reporting is a requirement that was originally written into the East San Joaquin Water Quality Coalition order by the State Board. In the East San Joaquin region, there is existing groundwater nitrate contamination from numerous sources, with agriculture being one of the biggest contributors. Since the East San Joaquin requirements became presidential and one of the biggest contributors since the East San Joaquin requirements became presidential in 2018, nitrogen use reporting is now required by agriculture coalitions in other areas of the state where there is groundwater contamination. So PVOC region is unique that there is no groundwater nitrogen contamination, despite having been a highly productive agriculture area for over 100 years. The existing concentration of nitrate in groundwater below coalition fields is so low that it's below what the state water board considers background levels. Coalition fields is so low, background levels that arise from natural sources. The coalition has developed a technical memo to provide scientific basis for why these groundwater conditions exist and will continue to exist in the future. The coalition submitted a tech memo to ILRP staff along with a request to defer implementation of nitrogen use reporting requirements. We have been working with coalition ILRP liaison, and we should receive a review and response soon. We want to let you know that we appreciate the time and effort that your staff has spent on reviewing our technical memo and requests. We realize that deferring implementation of nitrogen use reporting, while not unprecedented in the state, it's not the norm. We are looking forward to the staff's response and want to thank the IRP unit for considering the request. I'd like to thank your staff and appreciate the time they have spent. We always have had a great partnership in meeting all the requirements that the order has. Before even the order, it was conditional waiver that we were required to meet. So I'd like to thank your time and the staff's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional cards?
No, that's it.
Okay. We now move on to item three, which is review and approval of the minutes for the board's prior meeting on May 14th, 2024. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Chair Santin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. For agenda item four, the board will now hear an update from Laurel Firestone, our liaison to the State Water Resources Control Board. Laurel, you there?
I am sure. Can you hear me?
We sure can, yeah.
Sorry to be on my cell. I don't have a huge report today. We were able last month to have the Salt and Sea Management Program workshop, and we also did a hearing on the municipal stormwater cost policy that we will be incorporating into municipal stormwater permits. We have a lot coming up, so really the things to look forward to this month are we have a number of workshops on our fees for drinking water, ELAP, water quality, water rights fee stakeholder meetings, and we have our drafts coming out for our conservation regulations. We're hoping to adopt final conservation regulations by the first week of July. And then we are going to be releasing our draft intended use plan for our SRF and Safe and Affordable Drinking Water funding programs, so both clean water and drinking water this month. So we have a lot coming up, but not a lot I wanted to highlight from last month. If there's anything that you all have questions on, I'm happy to answer questions.
Any questions from the board members? All right. No. Thanks, Laurel. Enjoy your sunny picnic table. Okay, moving on to item five. Is Eric on? Do we know? Okay. Introduction to Eric Oppenheimer, Executive Director, State Water Resources Control Board. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Satin, members of the board. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you this morning. Good to get the chance to introduce myself. My name, as you know, is Eric Oppenheimer. And I am the executive director of the Water Board. It's a position that I took over in January, so I'm coming up on about 6 months on the job, which is not a whole lot of time for a job like this, but I do have an extensive background in water, about 30 years. Most of that time, I've been with the water boards, actually, various positions at the state water board and the regional boards. Prior to this job, most recently, for the last 8 years, I served as one of the two chief deputy directors at the water board. Also was the director of our Office of Research Planning and Performance, and spent about 5 years in the Division of Water Rights as well. As I said, I worked for regional boards as well. I actually started my career as a student assistant in the Lahontan region in South Lake Tahoe, and I spent about 5 years there. Also spent about 5 years with the Central Valley Regional Board working on agricultural issues in the San Joaquin Valley. And so about a decade between the two regional boards, and I just mention that because I just kind of want to relate it to you that I know what it's like to work for a regional board. I'm familiar with, you know, not every program that you touch, but many of the programs that you work on, I've worked in. And, you know, I know the challenges associated with working in the regions and the resource limitations and issues like that. So I feel like I've got a really strong partner with Paula Rasmussen, your executive officer, who also has extensive experience working at multiple regional boards. And I look forward to continuing to work with you and Paula. I thought I would just take a moment to mention that the water board, the state water board, earlier this year, I believe it was February, actually updated its strategic work plan. And I bring that up because if people and the board are interested in understanding sort of what are the things that are on the, you know, longer term agenda for the state water board and kind of what our priorities are in terms of sort of special initiatives, the strategic work plan does not really cover our core workload. So it doesn't really cover, you know, routine permitting, enforcement, compliance, inspections, reporting, and that type of work. But what it does do is lay out roughly 60 actions that the board has identified in addition to our core workload that they want the staff to focus on. And obviously, I'm not going to go through all 60 items, but, you know, I think what's interesting about our strategic work plan is that it's organized around four thematic priorities that I would summarize as: one, protecting public health; two, protecting watersheds and ecosystems; three, improving resiliency of the water supply in the face of climate change; and then fourth, inwardly focused, looking at strengthening internal capacity. And so, again, there's a lot in that plan, and I encourage people to look at it. And if you do look at it, one thing you'll note is that there's a subset of actions that have asterisks on. And these are I call them our super priorities. That's not the formal name, but these are the things that we're really focused on, either trying to complete over the next year or making substantial progress over the next year. And just a few things to highlight that I think have statewide significance that are on that list and really rise to the top of, I think, our board's priorities and certainly my personal priorities. The first board member Firestone touched on, which is really advancing and accelerating our work on providing drinking water to communities that don't have it. So really doubling down on our SAFER program, which is the Safe and Affordable Funding Program for Equity and Resilience. And although that program involves a set of authorities that are long-term, the funding itself for that program was slated initially at least for 10 years. And we're about to come up on the halfway mark. And, you know, this is a program that prior to taking over, you know, as executive director, I hadn't worked on, but I'm coming up to speed and I'm seeing that we've made a huge amount of progress. But as we approach the halfway mark, we're really looking at, I said, doubling down and accelerating our progress to bring systems into compliance that currently are on what's called the failing list. And so that's going to be really an area where you see the state water board spending a lot of time and emphasis. Another big push for us is the long overdue update to the Bay Delta plan that is currently in progress. There's a lot going on there. I won't go into much detail, but essentially our goal is to bring an update for consideration in front of our board in the next little, I'd say a little more than a year. We're targeting the second quarter of 2025 to have our board consider updates to that plan. Board Member Firestone mentioned water conservation. I put that under the category of improving resiliency of the water supply in the face of climate change. And that's something, again, as she mentioned, we are planning to bring to our board for consideration if all goes well in early July, although that's not final and that has not been scheduled yet. We recently closed the comment period on what was the third version of the water conservation regulation. We're currently evaluating comments on that third version and determining whether we actually need to release a fourth version of the regulation. At this point, no decision has been made, but we'll be making a decision on that very soon. And then lastly, I'd say on the area of strengthening internal capacity, an area that we're all focused on is a high priority for me. I know it's a high priority for our board and for your board as well, but that's advancing our work on racial equity and implementing our racial equity action plan, which is sort of like a separate strategic plan that itself has 53 discrete actions that we're working on. Personally, one of the areas I really want to focus on is developing the analytical tools that we can provide to staff so that they can better evaluate the impacts of our permits, our policies, our programs on racial equity and ensure that we're not either continuing or exacerbating and hopefully improving practices from the past that might have inadvertently caused racial equity impacts and disparities. And that's something I know our board is personally interested in, is having that type of information available when they're making decisions. And so, again, we want to develop those tools. And I'd also put tribal beneficial uses in this category as well. I know on your agenda later today, you're considering incorporating the tribal beneficial use designations into your basin plan. That's an important step. A subsequent step, if you should decide to do it, would be to actually designate those uses to waters within your region. And that's an issue that many of the regional boards and the state water board are currently working on. One of the actions in our strategic work plan is, in fact, advancing and making more consistent the tribal beneficial use designation process. It has proven to be a time consuming and it's a resource intensive process. And we're currently in the very early stages of working with your executive officers, actually some of the board members as well, on ideas on how we can work together to make the designation process more consistent and more clear, and hopefully that will lead to an improved process that can accelerate those designations in the areas where those designations would be appropriate. Last thing I'll just mention is budget. There's still a lot of budget uncertainty going on. There's not much to say there other than at this point the process needs to play out. The administration had put forward their budget, the legislature put forward their budget, and now the administration and legislature need to negotiate. As you're all, I believe, aware, there's a $28 billion shortfall that they're working on closing. And the administration is considering a reduction of 10,000 positions statewide, vacant positions statewide. We do not know the details of what that would look like, nor what those effects would be for the water boards, but it's something we're watching very closely. I am encouraged and cautiously optimistic that our budget change proposal for responding to the Sackett decision is still on track. And my understanding from that, there actually is, it's not a huge augmentation, but there is one PY that would likely be dedicated to your region if that budget change is successful. So that was a lot. I think I'll leave it at that and see if you have questions.
Any questions from the board members? Yeah, I don't think we have any here. I'd just like to thank you for your time. And I know our board is looking forward to some of those racial equity resources. That's something we've struggled to find time and resources to commit to. So we're looking forward to seeing the those play out.
Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for giving me a few minutes this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to our uncontested calendar, all items appearing under the uncontested items calendar are acted upon by the board in one motion without discussion. At this time, there are three items on the uncontested calendar, agenda items 6, 7, and 8. Oh, yeah, maybe I'm not speaking to it. So recapping, agenda items 6, 7, and 8 are on the uncontested calendar. Item 6 is a waste discharge requirement in the corresponding monitoring and reporting program for the Salton Community Services District, Thomas R. Cannell Wastewater Treatment Facility. Item 7 is waste discharge requirement for Rancho San Gorgonio LLC's Rancho San Gorgonio Planned Community Project. And item 8 is an order for substituting parties and rescission of multiple existing orders. New Carrot Farms LLC doing business. Do I have to read all these? Okay. New Carrot Farms LLC doing business as Bolthouse Fresh Food will replace William Bolthouse Farms Incorporated as the permanent discharger under orders R7-2009-0055 and R7-2016. These orders pertain to the Bolthouse facilities in Westmoreland and Holtville. Next, George Field Jr. will be replaced by Black Meadow Landing LLC was the permanent discharger under order R7-2017-0014 for Black Meadow Landing in San Bernardino County. Next, Ocotillo RV Resort LLC will replace Jeff Jester as the permitted discharger under order R7-2008-0017. The permitted facility will also be renamed from Blue Inn Wastewater Treatment and Disposal System to Ocotillo RV Resort Wastewater Treatment and Disposal System. Finally, orders R7-2007-0009, R7-2007-0043, and R7-2013-0060 are being rescinded. Order R7-2013-0060 is no longer necessary because the Big Bear Class 3 Waste Management Facility has been enrolled under the Closed Landfills General Order, which was adopted in 2022. The other two orders are no longer needed due to the subject facility's closure and decommissioning. All right. Turning now to consideration of the uncontested calendar, does any board member wish to remove any item from the uncontested calendar? If any member of the public wishes to remove an item from the uncontested calendar, you need to have filed a speaker card. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards on these items?
Not for comments, Chair Sen, but for questions, if there are any questions.
Okay. I don't believe we have any questions for any items, so thank you to those that made themselves available. All right. Is there a motion and a second?
I will make the motion to approve items number 6, 7, and 8 as per staff recommendation. Does that work?
Second.
All right, roll call vote, please.
Chair Satin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Proceeding now to the contested and discussion calendar of items for adoption, beginning with agenda item 9. I am now opening the hearing on agenda item 9, which is a resolution amending the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin incorporating tribal beneficial uses, state right of mercury provisions, and administrative updates. This is a non-adjudicatory hearing, and speakers will not be required to take the oath. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards for this agenda item?
No, there is not.
Okay. Do we have a staff report? Please state your name and affiliation before providing your comments. The comments of orders for this item are presentation by Francisco Costa, board staff, comments from the discharger, comments from the public, board member comments and discussion, and then I will close the hearing. Can we get the staff presentation, please?
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, Chair and members of the board. I am not Francisco Costa. He is out sick today. I'm his understudy. But my name is Emma McCorkle. I'm a senior environmental scientist and head of the Water Quality Standards and Nonpoint Source Unit. Today, I'll be presenting a proposed non-regulatory amendment to our basin plan to include tribal beneficial uses, statewide mercury provisions, and administrative updates. Next slide, please. This hearing is to provide the board the information needed to consider adoption of the resolution. In this presentation, I will give an overview of the Water Quality Control Plan for the Colorado River Basin, also known as the Basin Plan, describe tribal beneficial uses definitions that have been adopted by the State Water Resources Control Board, or the State Water Board, describe the statewide mercury provisions that have been adopted by the State Water Board, outline proposed administrative updates to be made to the basin plan for the Colorado River Basin region, and discuss the summary of public process and staff recommendation. Next slide, please. The Water Quality Control Plan, referred to as the Basin Plan, is the central regulatory document to ensure water quality in the Colorado River Basin region. Given the highly diverse environmental and land use characteristics of regions within the state, Colorado River Basin region-specific water quality regulations are contained in the Basin Plan that recognize the region's beneficial uses for ground and surface waters, water quality objectives to protect beneficial uses, and implementation programs to achieve water quality objectives. The Basin Plan fulfills state and federal statutory requirements for water quality planning, therefore preserving and protecting ground and surface waters of the Colorado River Basin region. Next slide, please. The Basin Plan is a living document that requires periodic updates to add new provisions and update existing programs. The amendment for consideration today incorporates statewide provisions adopted by the State Water Board, including tribal beneficial uses, numeric objectives for mercury, the human right to water, and other Region 7 specific administrative changes, including salt and sea updates and editorial changes. Next slide, please. The State Water Board recognized the need for beneficial uses to protect uses of California surface waters that are unique to California Native American tribes, and worked with them to develop the tribal beneficial uses. The tribal beneficial uses definitions were adopted by the State Water Board on May 2, 2017, and they are applicable statewide. The State Water Board recommended that the 9 regional water boards initiate and complete a basin planning process for the beneficial uses to be incorporated into their respective basin plans. The new tribal beneficial uses included in the proposed amendment are not being assigned to any water bodies. This amendment is only incorporating the definitions for possible future use at the request of Native American tribes. If a tribe requests a designation of waters in the future, the Regional Water Board will start the process and work with the tribe to designate TBU to specific waters. For subsistence fishing, we will work with interested parties to designate waters. Next slide, please. These are the tribal beneficial uses definitions adopted statewide by the State Water Board on May 2, 2017, that we propose be included in our basin plan. The definition of tribal tradition and culture, or CUL, C-U-L, is uses of water that support the cultural, spiritual, ceremonial, or traditional rites or lifeways of California Native American tribes, including, but not limited to, navigation, ceremonies, or fishing, gathering or consumption of natural aquatic resources, including fish, shellfish, vegetation, and materials. The definition of tribal subsistence fishing, or T-sub, is uses of water involving the non-commercial catching or gathering of natural aquatic resources, including fish and shellfish, for consumption by individuals, households, or communities of California Native American tribes to meet needs for sustenance. The definition of subsistence fishing, or sub, is uses of water involving the non-commercial fish catching or gathering of natural aquatic resources, including fish and shellfish, for consumption of individuals, households, or communities to meet needs for sustenance. Subsistence fishing is very similar to T-sub, with the exception that it encompasses all users, tribal or otherwise, that may consume fish or shellfish for sustenance. Both of these subsistence fishing beneficial uses normally involve higher rates of consumption of fish or shellfish than those protected under the commercial and sport fishing and the tribal tradition and culture beneficial uses. Next slide, please. Next, I will discuss the mercury water quality provisions that were also developed during the tribal beneficial uses process by the State Water Board. These are the mercury water quality objectives adopted into the statewide policy for inland surface waters by the State Board in 2017. They are already in effect statewide, and this proposed basin plan amendment formally incorporates them into our region's basin plan. These mercury water quality objectives protect both the people and the wildlife who consume fish in our region. These mercury objectives were formulated for one or more of the applicable beneficial uses, depending on the consumption pattern by individuals and wildlife, which includes consumption rate, fish size, and species. The four mercury water quality objectives applicable in our region are sport fish, tribal subsistence fishing, and prey fish. These objectives will be applied according to the beneficial uses of the water. Next slide, please. The final staff report contains revised basin plan amendment language. The State Water Board developed five mercury objectives, but only four apply to our region. The California least tern objective was removed because the species least tern is only found along the coast in California. The map on this slide shows the habitat of the California least tern in orange. As you can see, it does not exist this far inland. The objectives also contained references to specific situations in other regions and were removed. Attachments to the original provisions were also included as figures to be included in our basin plan for ease of application. Next slide, please. The mercury water quality objectives that protect people who consume fish apply to waters with the following beneficial uses: calm, commercial and sport fishing, coal, Native American culture, T-sub, tribal subsistence fishing, and sub, subsistence fishing. Next slide, please. These mercury water quality objectives that protect wildlife who consume fish apply to waters with the following beneficial uses: wildlife habitat, rare, threatened, or endangered species, warm freshwater habitat, cold freshwater habitat, and inland saline water habitat. Next slide, please. The remaining changes are administrative and are meant to include applicable policies and to resolve issues identified in the basin plan since the last amendment. Another component of this amendment is to formally incorporate the human right to water in the policy section of the basin plan. The State Water Board adopted Resolution Number 2016-10 with the human right to water as a core value and a top priority for the water boards in February 2016. With the resolution, the state statutorily recognizes that every human being has the right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible water adequate for human consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes. The policy is incorporated into Water Code Section 106.3, Subdivision A. Next slide, please. We also propose to update salt and sea information included in Chapters 1 and 5 in response to public comments. These include changes to language that reflects current restoration plans by the Salt and Sea Management Program and other pertinent information like salinity and depth from the United States Geological Service, and United States Bureau of Reclamation. The updated language is on page 21 in the staff report, revisions 8 to 10. Next slide, please. This proposed amendment would also include previously delineated groundwater hydrologic subareas from the groundwater basin map in the appendix of the basin plan to table 2.5. The basin plan currently includes the larger hydrologic units and their beneficial use designations. The smaller subareas have already been delineated but were not included in Table 2-5. Portions of the groundwater basin map are shown here as some of the subareas that will be added to Table 2-5. The full list is in the staff report starting on page 18. Next slide, please. Also proposed for your consideration today are additional administrative updates to the basin plan. Deletion of outdated information from the forward section, revision 4, on page 17 of the staff report. Fixed typos in chapter 4, implementation, revision 7, on page 20 of the staff report. And reformatting existing footnotes, 55, 56, 57, 58, and 74, which are revisions 12 through 14 on page 22 of the staff report. Next slide. Native American tribes in this region were contacted via letter and email to make them aware of the opportunity to consult on the project. one tribe, the Hamul Indian Village, requested consultation. Staff met with the representatives of the tribe and addressed their concerns and questions on the project. Staff also conducted a public workshop in Palm Desert on April 9, 2024. The public comment period ran from March 25th to April 26, 2024, and we didn't receive any comments from the public. However, we did receive input from the State Board to revise the statewide mercury provisions to reflect conditions in our region. Next slide, please. In summary, the tentative amendment to the Colorado River Basin Region Plan is compliant with applicable federal and state policies and mandates, protects surface and groundwater quality. Staff recommends the adoption of the tentative resolution by the regional board. Next slide. Thank you for your time and attention. I can take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. McCorkle. Do we have any questions for McCorkle?
About the one Indian tribe that asked for consultation.
Mm-hmm.
What about? Are they fishing? I mean, I wondered if we had any fishing tribes in our region.
They had questions about how it would apply to the Salton Sea, since that is a traditional gathering area for most of the tribes in our region and neighboring regions, because Hamul Indian Village is actually located in the mountains of San Diego.
Okay, that was another question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do have one question regarding. I understand that we're not applying the tribal designation to anything now, but you know the discussion of the application thereof has been, you know, a hot topic at both the state and among the chair's board. So, what thought have we given? Do we have a strategy for how we're approaching that? Do we have a list of water bodies that we suspect, you know, tribes might request be designated? Are we being proactive in terms of applying that? You know, to some extent, I'm okay letting other boards figure out the hard work about how this works, but I don't want to get caught flat-footed when a tribe comes to us and, you know, asks for that designation.
Yes. We are putting together a plan, and we are learning from the other regions that have already moved forward. For instance, Region 6 had their very long workshop last month? And we were watching that and kind of seeing what comments were being brought forward and how they had addressed some of the issues that the tribes had. We are going to start doing some outreach and seeing if our tribes are interested in listing specific water bodies. We've had a few in the past that have sent letters of support, but they didn't mention any specific water bodies or anything that they were particularly looking into. So yes, our next step after this, well, after at least adoption here, is to start engagement and, trying to see what you know we're going to do, basically.
Great. I don't imagine we have a discharger for comments.
No.
And there are no comments from the public?
No.
All right, any further discussion? All right, hearing is now closed. May I please have a motion to adopt agenda item 9, which is a resolution amending the Water Quality Control Plan for the Colorado River Basin, incorporating tribal beneficial uses, statewide mercury provisions, and administrative updates.
So moved.
Second.
A roll call vote, please.
Chair Satin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Excuse me. Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you. All right, turning now to the information items on the agenda, we will start with the Executive Officer Report. Paula?
Good morning, Chair Satin, members of the board, members of the public. I'm Paula Rasmussen, Executive Officer. Starting off today, I would like to introduce a new water resources control engineer. He's in the NPS program. Daniel Echeverria Placencia was promoted recently to fill a position in the NPS unit. And Daniel has been with this regional board serving as a scientific aide for about 6 months or so. I think Daniel's here. If you could stand up. Thank you. Daniel has a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering from CSU Los Angeles, and he's also a resident here in the Coachella Valley. So we're delighted that Daniel was selected for this position. In addition, we have another vacancy that was recently filled in the NPDES unit. An environmental scientist will be starting with us in July. So that leaves us right now with three other vacancies on our list. In office work, consisting of a minimum of 2 days per week for staff to be present in the office, is scheduled to start next Monday on the 17th. We will have staff here on Tuesdays, and then each unit will come in an alternate day to meet with their staff. Moving on, the State Water Board Resource, the State Water Board Salt and Sea Workshop was held on May 22nd. There were updates that were provided by the State Board and the Natural Resources Agency on the status of the Salt and Sea Management Plan. Our office here had a remote viewing station, and there were also remote viewing stations set up in Bombay Beach and Calipatra. Now, the Water Board's Chairs meeting was held May 31st. This was a hybrid meeting with in-person and remote participation by regional board chairs. Chair Satin attended this meeting and may provide additional information. And then, board members, please note that the Water Quality Coordination Committee meeting is scheduled for October 21st and 22nd, if you could hold your calendars. My understanding is this probably will be in person, and I haven't heard discussion yet of remote options for that. Moving on, staff investigated a complaint that was brought to this board's attention at a prior meeting regarding Bombay Beach West Vegetation Enhancement Project. The complaint was regarding concerns with straw bales, best management practices, and housekeeping measures at the site. Staff visited the site, met with residents who explained their concerns, and then subsequently met with the contractors responsible for site work. Staff's observations were that the permit that applies, the 401 permit, was in compliance, but there were concerns with other issues not relating to the permit, and they've shared their concerns with the discharger. And lastly, our next meeting will be July 9th here in this room, and we will focus on program performance and plans for next fiscal year. And that concludes my update.
Any questions for Paula? Awesome, thank you. Okay, item 11, Water Board member comments. Do any members of the boards have anything they'd like to discuss?
Comment, just I did attend the Salt and Sea workshop virtually. And I just picked the two things that I picked out of that was the natural wetlands that are forming out there. They want to see if more will form. They're kind of backing off a little bit from what I understand of that meeting and trying to see if they can spread that more and utilize that in a good way. And the other thing was data gaps out there. That was another big deal. And then another thing about the comment for the coalition about nitrogen. Are you going to get back to them on their answer? I mean, have they talked to you guys about that already? Or?
Yes, a response is forthcoming.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional comments from board members? Okay. All right, chair's report. As Paula mentioned, I attended the annual board chairs meeting 2 weeks ago. Topics of conversation included the budget, first and foremost, and what the shortfall means for the Water Board. I think, generally speaking, we don't see a lot of personnel growth here in this region, although they are proposing an addition of an additional staff member to handle the increase in Waters of the State permitting due to the Supreme Court Sackett decision. There was also significant discussion around the tribal beneficial uses designation and the best way to approach that. So I'm looking forward to further updates from our board about kind of our approach and what they learn from other folks' experience. And that concludes my report. We do have a closed session item today. Sorry, Council, are there any matters for discussion in closed session?
Yes, the board will meet in a closed session to discuss item 12, which is the consideration of the appointment, employment, or evaluation of the performance of the executive officer.
Great. All right, the board will now leave the Zoom meeting platform to hold closed session. This ends the item on the agenda open to public and the webcast of today's meeting. The meeting will officially adjourn following the conclusion of closed session, and the board will not be returning to the Zoom meeting platform. Before we do that, I'll say the next meeting is scheduled for July 9th, 2024. We are not adjourned, but we are moving to closed session.
We don't have to come back in.
I don't think so. Do I need to adjourn it?
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, I need to. I need to come back and close it. Yeah. No. Oh, did I wander off? I'm so sorry. That's the important part. Thank you to the public that attended.